Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask Kathleen. I am your guest host tonight, Jerome Esprit. Now, I have to tell you, with a little bit of technical difficulties and getting into the board and all of that good stuff, you know, we've been running a little bit behind schedule. Now, We have our co-host, Ronnie. Hopefully she's on, but Ronnie, I can't see you on the board right now, but we're going to get to that part. Hopefully it'll come back in a second. And again, I just want to welcome you to the show. Now, for those who have not been on Ask Kathleen before, I'll tell you about it. Now, Ask Kathleen, as a show, again, my partner in crime, Ronnie, is going to be there in a minute. But if you have any questions in your mind, or you just want to talk over, that you want to talk over with someone, or need to run by something by somebody you can trust to be honest with you, or you have a personal problem, or you feel stretched beyond your comfort zone and, you know, want to know if you're heading in the right direction, this is Ask Kathleen. You know, it's usually how she runs her show. So this is the premise of Ask Kathleen, but tonight on Ask Kathleen, we're going to cover this week in news, you know, Esprinet News. We're going to cover news tonight. And we have Ronnie's Rage. Hopefully coming up, we have a commentary on this week's Supreme Court decisions, you know, from an independent perspective. And just in case, that's right, everything is free game tonight. Now, you know, I'm going to... You can join in on the program by calling 909-265-9189 to join us, or you can join us in the chat room. But remember, keep your comments relevant and avoid profanity and vulgarity and obscenity, or you're going to get muted or booted. Either one, we're going to kick you out of here. Now, let me see if we have Ronnie on the line. Ronnie, are you with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
That's good. I'm well, you know, with the technical difficulties. I don't know why I was having problems and getting booted out and all that good stuff. But I said, hopefully Ronnie won't abandon me today.
No, that was one of my favorite songs, so I don't mind listening. I could listen to that for about 20 minutes. I've done it before.
You know, and I think, you know, the problem was, is that although I enjoy the show, since I didn't have control of the board, I couldn't shut it off anyway. So we had to listen to the whole music. And now I have control of the board, but I figure, hey, what a nice song to just kind of sit back and groove until we get ready, right?
That's right. No problem. I'm relaxed.
Okay.
I'm ready, and I have a lot of things. I can't wait to hear your independent opinion about that Eric Holder situation. So, you know, I've been waiting all week to hear about that.
Oh, well, see, you know what? I didn't even think about just covering Eric Holder, because that is a whole other story. But we're going to cover that because it's a part of our Supreme Court decisions and all of everything else that we have.
Fabulous Obama health care, you know, the passing of that Obama's health care law was like just phenomenal, just epic, awesome. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, you know, the last time we were on, remember we did a whole show on some of the accomplishments. We did, what, a two-hour show on the accomplishments of the administration, and I know we left out a lot, but we did cover healthcare. So, you know, if you want to check that out, go in the archives and check it out. Or, you know what, call in, join us. We will talk about, you know, the benefits of the healthcare law and healthcare legislation. So, you know, we'll do all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm, that's
now,
great.
What'd you say?
I said, that's great. Kathleen's on assignment this week, so we're sitting
right.
In.
You know what?
We're trying to get it all done.
you know what happens when Kathleen's on assignment? We usually tear up. So since we're going to tear up today, we thought we'd warn you that we don't have any parameters today, so Ryan and I are going to be a little loose. Now, matter of fact, let's start with that. Let's start with this story, since we did talk about Eric Holder. The story is U.S. the Justice Department said it will not prosecute or investigate Attorney General Eric Holder following the House vote holding him to contempt. Now, Deputy Attorney General James Cole said the actions involved in the contempt vote did not constitute a crime. Therefore, the department will not bring the congressional contempt citation before a grand jury or take any other actions to prosecute the Attorney General. Now, Coles wrote that in a letter to Congress, and he cited a number of precedents where the Washington Post reported in 1984 that Theodore Olson, an assistant attorney general for Reagan, for the Reagan administration, said the U.S. attorney do not have to prosecute executive branch officials for contempt of Congress if they follow the president's instructions or invoke executive privilege. Now, another attorney general, Michael Mukasey, in 2008, refused to bring contempt charges against President George W. Bush's chief of staff and general counsel. So he right. did cite the precedent that we don't prosecute executive branch members for contempt of Congress because they actually hold executive privilege options right. for the executive branch.
Right. So what in the world does all that mean in the big scheme of President Obama's reelection? Because they seem to me, it's a little, it's a sneaky, underhanded way of tainting his, you know, his campaign, and really, to me, sounds like it means nothing.
Right. And the bigger picture, it was, you know what, there's good news and bad news in this. What happened was, since the Republicans feel like they have something to yell and scream about, they actually passed the transportation bill, which was a pretty significant bill. I think it was $150 million, or it was more than that. But they passed the transportation bill, and they passed the legislation to so that student loans wouldn't double. Now, they would have made that a big issue if they didn't have something else to argue about. So the funny thing with Republicans is that long as they can fight about something in public, they will do regular business. And when they don't have anything to fight with in public, they won't do regular, you know, congressional business. So the good news is that you're going to see a lot of hiring for the construction money that they put into the transportation bill.
That
the president's been he's been fighting for that in his jobs bill since August of last year. And they just put it in. But they did it under the radar just because of, you know, just because it was, you know, they were yelling about Eric Holder.
Right. It's amazing, this foolishness that goes on.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Now,
so anyway, basically it means nothing in as far as the attorney general's position. He's not going to be prosecuted or anything like that, but what was in those papers that they wanted to see in the first place?
Nothing. The problem was that there was no wrongdoing because that it wasn't a program, but that action that was taken in that fast and furious action, it wasn't a program. They're blowing that out of proportion, but they never found, well, that happened during the Bush administration for one, and they're saying they're holding back information because they're looking for something, and since they don't have anything, he's not technically breaking the law, but they want to look through all his papers to see if they can find something is what they're doing. They don't have anything. They admit it. They said, we don't have anything to say that there was any wrongdoing, but why won't he let us look at the papers to see if there's anything that he did wrong?
Well, why do you want to look if you have nothing? What are you looking for?
They don't know. That's what they said. Like, there's no wrongdoing there, because the moral of the story with the Fast and Furious, if you're not for our listeners who are not familiar with it, is the fact that Arizona has doesn't have a lot of restrictive gun laws. Arizona, if you're under 18, you can actually buy a weapon. You can buy multiple weapons. There's no waiting period. There is you can buy as many weapons as you want for your own personal use, but the law is so loose that if you buy the weapon and walk outside, you can change your mind and sell it. So the Fast and Furious program, that one investigation, they watched kids go in, buy multiple weapons, 10, 20 at a time, and then give them to someone. And so
right.
They had to track the guns, but they couldn't stop it because Arizona laws are just weak.
Right.
Out
in the Wild Wild West, they live a different lifestyle. They don't care about weapons, and everybody has a weapon out in the West.
But we're not talking about handguns. We're talking about AK-47s and military style weapons.
I'm talking about those too. Everybody I knew had one.
Right. Well, I'm just sharing the part that part of the story. So
some of my girlfriends had Uzis back in the day when they were Uzis, and then they, you know, upgraded to the AK. It was ridiculous, but everybody had one. I did not.
That's well.
I did not have an AK.
You want to plead the fifth on that, right? Just like.
No, I'm honest. I never had an AK. I'm being honest with you.
Okay. All right, you're not on the oath, so you're cool. But what they want to do is they want to bring civil charges against the Attorney General. So they're just going to keep fighting this in the news to give the impression that there's scandal in the executive branch. But everybody knows, just kind of on the surface, that this is more about the Republicans trying to distract the Justice Department from the lawsuits, from the voter suppression stuff that's going on for this year's election. The Justice Department has literally kind of went at Florida, Texas, all of these states that passed laws for voter suppression, and they figure if they bring charges against the Justice Department, that'll sidetrack them. I think that's what the bigger picture is.
Okay.
Right.
So, yeah, okay. Some more just political.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely just a political issue, you know, of why they're doing that. Now, more than it just being political as well, there's something really strange about the fact that you want to fight just for the sake of fighting. But that's what the Republicans did, so we won't go into – won't jump on them so early in the program because there is so much, there is so
be
much
there
more.
All night. They would take over.
Right, okay. So, you know, in our other news, I just want to say that you know, gas prices are down another 9 cents for the week, down to nationally $3.33 for those people who are keeping score of the fact that there's no complaints about gas prices over the last, like, couple of months. First-time jobless claims fell 6,000 this week, according to the U.S. Labor Department. The four-week rolling average, which gives us a good indication of the direction of jobless claims, has little changed by a little. It was only 750, but the largest decreases were in California. Jobless claims are down 8,016. In New York, they're down 3,018. And in Georgia, it's 2,160. So jobless claims go down, and next week we'll have our unemployment numbers. So that is more likely probably to go down a little bit since our jobless claims are down.
That's good news.
Yeah. Again, these numbers comes out on Friday, so it varies over the news cycle, but only when it's really bad news is that you'll hear the stuff come up. So
right. And then they did the market ended up on an up note, European as well as New York Stock Exchange. So they did that quick.
Right. And
before.
Yeah.
Quick. It was quick, but I did catch it.
Yeah, and it went up, right? So all of those things went up. And also, the U.S. economy expanded to its modest 1.9. It was 2%, but they downgraded a little bit. On this annual basis for the first quarter of the year, according to the Commerce Department, that's what they confirmed with all of the numbers actually in. The Commerce Department said consumer spending rose 2.3% from quarter to quarter, and the price index also beat expectations, jumping 2.6% after falling rising only 1.1% in the fourth quarter. So the report also said that corporate profits grew $1.645 trillion on an annualized basis. That's
wow.
Right. Companies made $1.6 trillion, and we have a bad economy. That's how much their profits were. All right. I know. See, we had to throw these out before we get back into politics, so everyone will go, well, things are going bad. And it's like, their numbers, their bottom line is actually doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Now U.S. housing prices rose almost in almost all major categories in April. It was a closely watched survey has indicated. They usually go backwards. The Case-Shiller Housing Index, which is compiled by Standards and Poor, showed prices rose by 0.7%. from April to March, with a seasonally adjusted basis, 19 of the 20 cities tracked by the survey showed prices rising, marking the third consecutive monthly gain. Now, the survey follows a separate report that came out this week that showed new home sales hit a two-year high in May.
Okay. Wow, that I didn't hear.
Yep, these are all AP feed stuff. See, that is where we know that news gives you bad news because it keeps you watching the news, and nobody actually hears anything that remotely is good.
Right. I listened to the new homes report, and that's not what they reported. They reported that they're so, like, the market is saturated with homes, and because
right.
of whatever situation they were saying, nobody can qualify for a loan. Now, that's what I heard.
Well, again, $1.6 trillion. So banks have a lot of money, but they're not giving out loans. See,
they can afford to lose $4 billion and say, "Oh, don't worry, nobody's going to be. You know, we're not going to pass that on to the consumer."
Well, because they made $1.6 trillion. That is really not that much money.
Right,
like
I know.
How much money they had in your first.
Yeah.
Now, financial regulators have fined Merrill Lynch $2.8 million for overcharging customers with fees and for failing to provide timely trade confirmations. Now, the Financial Industry Recovery Authority said this week that it fined Merrill Lynch, Price, Finner, and Smith after it found the brokers overcharged nearly 95,000 customers with fees totaling more than $32 million from April 2003 to December 2011. Now, in concluding the statement, they neither admitted nor denied the charges, but they only had to pay $32 million after they overcharged.
What?
I'm sorry. They overcharged 95,000 people, and they paid a fine of $32 million without admitting any wrongdoing.
How did they
No, I'm sorry. I did that backwards. They paid a fine of $2.8 million, but they made $32 million.
Yeah, my question is, how did they get away with that? How did they get away with that?
It was a settlement. They wouldn't admit any wrongdoing, and so they skated. All right.
Okay.
Okay, it was all. And other, you know what?
Yeah, I know you
these news
report the news. Huh? You don't write it. I said you report the news, you don't write it.
You know, again, we try to stay well informed. I used to get a lot of questions on that where people go, "Well, where did you hear that or where did you get this news?" And I always go, "It's out there. Nobody ever sees it because people don't report on stuff that's not sensational." So. These are just some things that was on the news just this week. So we're not doing past news. We're just doing this week. If you want to check out more, I'm sure we'll have a slew of other news next week. Oh, let me just remind everybody, you're listening to Ask Kathleen with co-host Ronnie and guest host Jerome. We're trying not to tear up too much, so don't tell Kathleen, but you can call in and tell us. Our number is area code 909-265-9189. If you want to join the conversation, you can hit us up in chat room if I ever get a chance to look in there and ask questions, talk about everything. Everything's free game today. But at this point, we're still covering news. Ryan, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
All right, so I didn't run you off on the news yet, right?
No. Love the news. I'm a news. No, I am. I'm a newsanista.
Okay. Let's go to, I don't usually do polling stuff on news, but helped by the White House recent immigration rules is what the news is reporting. President Obama leads his Republican challenger in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. That's according to Quinnipiac. I can't even think how to say that. Well, anyway, to a new survey that just came out. And president leads by 9 percentage points in Ohio, 6 in Pennsylvania, and 4 in Florida. Now, no one has won the White House since 1960 without taking at least 2 of those 3 states. And swing states are identified as Colorado, Florida, Illinois. I'm sorry, Florida, Iowa, Michigan, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wisconsin. I don't know why they describe all of those as swing states, because they're not. But anywho, just for
really?
News' sake.
They're not?
Well, they count them because in the past that they would go one time Democrat and then one time Republican. So they count them as swing states, thinking that they could possibly go either way, depending on the political cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but some interesting news in another survey recently came out this week. Our voting population has changed drastically since 1994. I don't think people realize this. I know this as a strategist. When you start listening to news and listening to the guys on the news and they say, here's what traditionally happened and this is why this is a swing state, it's important to note that according to this new survey, white voters, non-educated white voters who voted in 1984 was 69% of the total voters. Now they're only 39% of total voters.
Why
white
is that?
Voters, well, listen to the numbers. Now, white voters who are college graduates were only 21% of the voters in 84, and now they're 29% of the voters. So we have more educated voters.
Well,
now, the big number, yes, and now the big number, minorities voted at 12% in 1984, and they vote at 26% now.
Repeat that?
Now that
I missed it.
Minority voters voted at 12% in 1984,
wow.
But they vote at 26% of all of the total voters today.
That's a good upswing. More consciousness, obviously.
No, but more importantly, voters have changed. And so instead of – it shows why the Republicans talk to people who are not educated, because in 84 – 69% of your voters were uneducated white folks.
Right.
That was the demographic. But now they're only 39%.
Yeah,
and if that's your base, go ahead.
Yeah, I get your point.
Right.
Because,
so you're talking to the wrong crowd now.
Right. But that's the reason why, it makes sense, though, doesn't it? That their bases are uneducated. I always like to call it the middle America that doesn't travel,
right.
Doesn't know anything that's going on, doesn't really care. You know, they're rooted
right.
in whatever it is they have going on, and all they see is that they're going to maintain life as usual for them. They don't care about the
right.
rest of them.
And it's exactly why Tea Party, I used to say this all the time, Tea Party people don't vote. They get a lot of news. They get a lot of news, but they don't vote in a good number. So it's interesting that that's an impression, but they really don't vote. They really don't like government, so they don't participate in the process.
Oh, brother.
So when you see polls and see people who are shocked about what the president is doing and all of those other things, what happens is that people say, hey, the president isn't he's not participating, or he's not going to do well because his numbers are low. That's not true. His numbers are completely different, and everyone acts as if they're shocked. But you shouldn't be too shocked, because the voting population is very different than the people who are on TV pretend it is.
Yeah, and then I never believe those polls. I have this, you know, I have this conspiracy theory mind that makes me think that they'll go to, you know, the Starbucks at the studio and ask 10 people.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is that people don't like to take polls. And so people, especially people who support the president, are more likely not to take a poll than people who don't like him. So the polls are always kind of slanted against them than they are for him.
Well, you know, it's funny. If they ask you to take the poll, because every time you look up, they're asking you to take a poll. They want
right.
you to go. If you only have 5 minutes to do whatever it is you're doing on the computer, and they ask you to take a poll, the next thing you know, it's like 30 minutes have gone by.
Right.
And then that pop up, and this thing, and you're like, oh, forget it. So that, you know, I'm guilty. I am.
You're guilty of not taking a poll or taking
exactly.
one?
Actually, I'm guilty of not taking a poll.
Okay, well.
I'm calling you. Because
okay,
you know
I
they call me like
getting,
every 15 minutes.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to start giving out your number for the next poll that comes out. Now, before we go into, you know, we're half hour in already, so I just want to make sure I give out the number. You're listening to Ask Kathleen, area code 909-265-9189. See, I had to stutter over that. I've been running that number too much. And for those who are on the line, just raise your hand. I can see people popping in and out, but raise your hand if you want to get in on the conversation. We're just covering news, covering information. We're gonna hit Ronnie's rave at about the top of the hour because we know we're gonna go when that happens. And because I know you have some stuff to let go of. So we're gonna deal with that. You know, and
my list is so long. I don't know if I'll get to get it all in. I'll do my best.
Well, you know what? We'll start that early then. So we'll make sure we get in. We'll get in after when we take a break. We're going to take a break at about 15, so we'll come back and get in there. Now, there is a new law that has come out, well, come into force in France. It makes it an offense for drivers. Well, it makes it mandatory for drivers to carry a breathalyzer kit in their vehicles or risk an on-the-spot fine. Now, in the latest move by the government aimed to bring down the number of road deaths caused by alcohol, they said it's 4,000 road deaths, but all of them are not by alcohol. But all motorists must have with them a high visibility safety vest and a warning triangle, along with a breathalyzer kit. Now, foreign drivers are included in the new rules. However, there is a grace period until November. So the French government hopes that the breathalyzers in every car, hopes there will be a breathalyzer in every car. And drivers who suspect they may be over the limit can test themselves and, if necessary, refrain from taking the wheel. Now, under the new rules, which include or excludes mopeds, by the way, drivers who fail to produce a breathalyzer after November 1st will face a fine of 11 euros, which is roughly about 33 bucks or so.
Mm-hmm. That's not a lot.
Well, it's crazy to ask people who don't drink to carry around a breathalyzer.
That is pretty crazy.
Actually,
imagine if they did that here, or we'd be able to get through traffic in no time.
What, if everybody carried a breathalyzer?
Because everybody would be on the train.
Well, okay. But, yeah, that's true. But here's a problem with that kind of thinking. That means that not only do you have to test yourself, then are you supposed to turn in yourself if you get home and you forgot to take it and you realize you're over the limit? Are you supposed to call somebody? I think that's a bit over.
Well, do you know I think they're going to input here in the United States, people that have X amount of DUIs, they're going to have it installed in their car. And I do believe the car won't start unless you blow. That, you know, I've been hearing that. I don't know if it's actually going to happen. But that's if you already have infractions. Hello?
Well, I've heard that. Now, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But since they're adding it, like what they're doing is they're saying you have to pay for your breathalyzer in your car if you've had too many. Like, I think that's overreach, though. I think that what happens in a free society is that if you get caught, you get kind of thrown under the jail. But you can't make people who don't do something do it just in case somebody else does. Those are very hard, you know, very difficult laws. It's like saying what the Republicans are doing to Eric Holder. Let us see all your paperwork to see if you did something wrong. Like, you can't do that.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous as well. is France connected to the Autobahn at all? Because, you know, I believe that I know the Autobahn goes through Germany.
Well, it's the German
and
Autobahn, so it probably does get pretty close.
France. Right. So you figure if I'm driving at 100, okay, if you give me the privilege of being able to drive 100 miles an hour, which you know we would love. I'm telling you right now, we would love it. So if I can drive 120 miles an hour, I don't, how can I balk at being having to blow? And I would prefer that somebody would not get behind the wheel at 120 miles an hour having been impaired. So, you know, they get benefits that we don't get.
Well, okay, but I can see their reasoning, because Audubon is pretty flat, right? And so you can drive through some parts of Texas, in the middle of Texas, and it's just, for miles upon miles, it's just kind of flat land, and that speed limit is higher in those areas than they are in other parts. It's just because there's nothing there. And so the Audubon is kind of that kind of speedway. It was meant to be an expressway. And I don't think they have that many accidents on the Audubon, honestly.
No, I heard that they do. You know, I mean, most of them are professional drivers.
Right, but it's a regular freeway to the rest of the country. It's not, sectioned off or anything. The Audubon is just that it has a really high speed limit. It's like going into Canada when you go on the QE. I can't think of which number it is, but when you go into the one that's near New York State, I know the speed limit drastically changed when you come from, I want to say Niagara Falls going to Toronto. I mean, that speed limit jumps, and they are just speeding. And it's just straight. I mean, it's a straight drive. So people get up to, I mean, they use kilometers there, but I think almost like 90. it's just flat land.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure. Like, I'm sure someone can call in and dispute that if they want to, but I don't think they have that many accidents there.
Okay.
And also in case, you know, we missed the sports fans in our sporting news, who did not hear, LeBron James won.
Oh, yeah, that was on my list to talk about.
Okay, so we'll talk about that later, but, you know, because
they
I didn't have
he
that news.
He finally got his ring, so I wanted to give him, you know, the accolades that he deserves, even though he's not one of my favorite players. But
we are really going to have to talk about that. But I will save that news story since you have it on your brain. But, you know.
Did you watch
the
game?
Yeah, I watched the game.
Me too.
I watched all of them. Yeah.
I didn't watch all of them, but I watched the final game. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that game.
Okay, well, we'll do that. Now, there's a story that Coke and Pepsi, speaking of France news story, Coke and Pepsi contain minute traces of alcohol. Scientific research has published in France, and they said the revelation will cause concern amongst those who choose the carbonated soft drink for religious health or safety reasons. Now, according to the test carried out by a Paris-based National Institute of Consumption, more than half of the leading colas contain traces of alcohol. Now, 10 of the 19 tested, which had traces of alcohol in them, included Coke, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Classic, Coca-Cola, Coke Classic Light, or something like that in France, and Coke Zero. Now, a spokesman for Pepsi acknowledged that some soft drinks can contain minute traces of alcohol because of the ingredients used, although Pepsi's recipe does not contain any alcohol. Now, both companies suggest that the natural fruit can ferment and produce minute traces of alcohol. That is the first time I've ever heard that.
You know, I just heard it on the news the other day, but I didn't have time to focus on it. You know, I just kind of let it go. And I think it's a little bit selfish on my part since I don't drink carbonated sodas, you know. So I was like, oh, well, whatever. I don't really drink it. But think about the little kids.
I'm sorry. I'm drinking wild cherry Pepsi as we speak, and I'm going to tell you this. Who cares?
Okay.
Does it have
traces of alcohol?
I don't know if it has traces of alcohol. I don't let it sit that long.
Okay.
So none of them use alcohol, mind you. they use some natural fruit juices, and you know how alcohol is. If it ferments, if it sits too long.
Right.
So we don't know how long carbonated drinks sit in warehouses. And so they said, yes, it's possible you can have traces of some kind of fermented stuff if it's been sitting there for eons. Probably. It's probably true.
But
right.
I don't,
so
it's, is
don't
it harmful? I don't think
Go
it's
ahead.
Harmful.
No, I don't think so either. But I don't think you'll sit there and tell your kids, hey, see that apple juice? You better drink that before that starts to become kind of alcohol-y.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. And think about everything that's shelved in this state. Everything in that shelved, and pretty much most of our products that we consume are shelved. So they probably all have some traces of alcohol anyway.
Yep, and that was my point. So it could be pretty much one of those things where, you know, it just sat. Now, in Georgia, you know, I did a story earlier in the week, but Georgia blueberry industry, speaking of fruit, has steadily outpaced the peach state's famous peach industry. Now, data from the University of Georgia indicates that the data shows the blueberry industry produced $133 million in 2010, making Georgia the third biggest blueberry-producing state behind Michigan and Oregon. Now, while the peach industry only made $47 million, blueberry sales have increased 500% since 2003, while the peach sales remain flat. So,
well, you know why that is.
I don't know, but I like to tell my people in Georgia that they're going to be now the blue state. Georgia wouldn't want that as a red state, right?
I know. But you know what's funny? It's because of the health benefits that they rave about in the blueberry. Because of the, it's supposed to be memory and enhancing and, you know, good for your blood. And it's supposed to be like the cure-all for any type of, say, if you have borderline memory loss or anything
right.
like that. So
well,
I won't
like
say
I said,
Alzheimer's.
I'm,
that's pushing it, but, you know, leading up to, like, dementia and Alzheimer's and so forth. So it has these properties, so.
Yeah. But I'm surprised that I guess that anybody would, that they would produce so many blueberries, being that they're kind of dry. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would think you would need a ton of water to produce blueberries. And, you know, they have drought-like conditions in Georgia a lot of times. But anyway, that's just my, I guess in a controlled environment, you can grow anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well, congratulations, Georgia, and we're going to now know you as the Blueberry State.
That's awesome. I didn't know about that. I didn't even know they grew blueberries there. I thought they grew, you know, peaches and the other fruits.
Oh,
watermelon.
Yeah.
I thought they grew watermelons and cantaloupe, you know, things like that. So now I know.
Okay. Well, you know, on that note, since we have to give our Georgia update, we'll have to do other states later. But anywho, I guess we'll take a quick break. And you're listening to Ask Kathleen. We're doing news today as your guest host and co-host Ronnie. Sit there and tear it for Kathleen. I'm sure she's going to check us out in the archives. So I'm waving at you, Kathleen. Just wanted to say hey. And and we are trying to be on our good behavior, but when we come back, we are going to talk about some of the Supreme Court decisions, and coming up at the top of the hour, or just before the top of the hour, we're going to do Ronnie's rave, because we're just going to tear up, and we're going to see how long that's going to take us to tear up the rest of the show.
Okay.
Okay, so on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Baby or a young child in your life, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or just friend, forget about the cutesy outfits, the toys, the diaper bags. You want to give a gift that's really going to make a forever difference in a child's life. How about the gift of reading? Let me tell you about the Your Baby Can Read program and the special offer that we're offering today. Call 1-877-351-4556. That's 1-877-351-4556. 877-351-4556.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Moms everywhere are finding ways to keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov.
I want to see more serious political conversations starting to happen.
I want corporations out of the government, and I want people back in.
I want peace rather than militarization.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want economic justice.
I want to be able to speak my voice without jeopardizing my job.
I want a greater regulation of the banks and the market.
I want my kids to have a job and health care.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
No white jeans after Labor Day. What are you, my grandmother?
I'll rock white jeans whenever I want. And with Tide plus bleach, they'll stay white. Not whitish, not eggshell, not acru. Whatever that is. White.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
Welcome back to Ask Kathleen. You know, before we go in any farther, I don't know if, let me bring Ronnie back on before we get going farther.
I'm here.
Hey, Ronnie?
Yeah.
How are you? You know, I don't
know
if you heard this story, but before we go into our next story, I wanted to ask if you heard about the woman who's the bus monitor in upstate New York. She was in Rochester. Now, the upstate New York school bus monitor, who was bullied by 4 7th graders, said she's satisfied with them being suspended for a year. Now, speaking one day after the boy's punishment was announced, Karen Klein said she would like to talk to them. Now, she's 68 years old. She was speaking from her home in Rochester. She said, I want to ask them why they did it. Now, what the four boys did was captured on video, mercilessly taunting Klein as she sat on the bus.
They were rude.
She gradually broke down in tears One student said, you don't have a family because they all killed themselves because they don't want to be near you. And Klein's oldest son killed himself 10 years ago. She hasn't decided whether she was going to return to her job yet. But
then they called her fat, and they were poking at her. They were horrendous.
Yes. And
they
so all the kids were suspended for 1 year from school.
But I didn't think that they should be suspended from school for a year.
They are. But they have to go to an alternative school. Like, they don't go to regular school with their friends.
I know, but I think they should go to their school with their friends, and they have to do anti-bullying type of, you know what I mean? That's what I think.
Nope.
They should be.
They got 50 hours of community service as well.
Oh, okay.
And senior centers at that. Like, so they specified their community service. 50 hours in senior centers, and they cannot go back to regular school.
For a year.
And they were all seventh graders, I think.
That's tough.
So I guess it was three of the four kids came over to apologize, and she said they weren't sincere. She said the one kid was sincere. The fourth kid came over and brought her flowers and something else, and he was sincere. But they all were suspended.
I wonder if that was the guy that their father – there's one child whose father was just absolutely devastated. So maybe that was him.
It may have been him. Yeah.
Because his father was destroyed. When he saw the tape, he couldn't believe that his son was part of that. But I don't know why. Oh, see, we did this story last week. Kathleen and I talked about it. Where you weren't with us. We missed you.
Yeah, I missed last week. I cannot believe I wasn't around. Yes.
You get a life. We understand. But
no,
we
no,
talk-
no, no, no. You know what's funny is I actually thought you guys weren't going to do the show because I was on early, so nobody was there, so I thought she canceled it. I thought she canceled the show for the day.
Yeah, we were there, and we talked about it because we rode the school bus as kids.
Oh.
Did you ever ride the school bus?
No. Well, no. I did catch the city bus, like, to go to a different school. I went to... like around junior high age, I actually took some vocational classes. So I took photography and something at a different school, but they gave us a bus pass and we had to take the city bus. So I never rode a school bus.
Listen, let me tell you something. I don't know why they made such a big. We decided that kids nowadays, and don't anybody that has children, don't take offense. But I don't know how they survive these days. I don't know how we survive. You know, I don't know how we could survive jobs because of school bus.
These guys got zero tolerance and all these other things. It's like, that's too much lead, and we don't make bikes out of metal anymore, and you got to wear a helmet. Like, these guys get so many safety precautions now that we were just, you get bullied, things snatched from you, not walking down certain streets, dogs chasing you, you know?
Remember there was wild dogs coming out of everywhere.
Sure was.
They didn't have to lock them up.
They didn't have to chain them up like they do now.
No, we used to run for our lives every single day. There wasn't one day in my life, Jerome, that I didn't run. And usually it was off of the school bus.
As soon as you get off the bus, run for your life.
Run for your life. And on the school bus, it was a nightmare. Everybody was bullied. If you weren't bullied, you were trying to survive. You were trying to sit behind a bus. It was always something. So I don't know how the kids of this day survive. So for the fact that she was bullied on the bus, and, you know, my heart goes out to her because they shouldn't have done it. Absolutely. They were wrong. But I still don't think that they should be suspended from school for a whole year. I think that the kids nowadays, their biggest problem is that they think that the whole world revolves around them. And they have these cell phones. We would never put something like that on a cell phone.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, see, they don't know how to control themselves. YouTube and stuff is blowing people out of the water. You don't put stuff. You know what? And we do so many stories with teachers and students and all these other things because they're recording them. I'm sure it probably was worse when we were little or something, but there is no proof that we can actually point the finger at.
There is no proof, and we made sure of that.
Exactly. Exactly. See the beauty of being smarter back in the day. See what that bought you, street smart kids?
We would have never put it on the cell phone. Never, never, never. We would have choked the kid to death. And this is terrible, but I'm being honest. If they ever pulled out a camera.
You could do that. All right. So let's do this. Since we have the two Supreme Court stories, let's do the Arizona immigration law first. Now,
okay.
The Supreme Court struck down three of the four parts of the Arizona immigration law, a clause that would have required immigrants to carry proof of status with them, and others that would have made it a crime for undocumented workers to apply for jobs. The court struck that down, and a provision that would have allowed police to stop people purely on suspicion that they were in the country illegally. Now, Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the opinion for the court, said the justices were unanimous in their decision to allow the other provision that check your papers provision to come to effect, a provision known as Section 2B that required police to make a reasonable attempt to determine immigration status of anyone who was stopped for any other violation was upheld by the Supreme Court. The court ruled it was too early to tell whether that clause that caused a conflict with federal laws, but added that the provision could be open to a legal challenge at a later date. That provision is a reporting provision, which means they cannot has to go to federal authorities. So I hesitated over that part, but what it means is there is not a check your papers, please, like people think it is, because I heard a lot of reporting on it from other people and other news outlets. It does not mean the police can detain you one extra second to check your status. What it means is that in 1996, I think it was, 1996, Bill Clinton signed into law a statute that said from the immigration department, or what is it called, ICE, from that statute that says that if a state has somebody who they suspect is illegal, they have to report that to the federal government. It's just a reporting function. You can't get arrested if somebody thinks you're an illegal alien. But the Supreme Court did leave it open and said that if they find that you are picking people apart just to see if they're illegal, like if you just pick Mexicans or Hispanic people up,
right,
then they're going to rule against it because you can't do it. You can't discriminate to check status. So since it's not in effect, the Supreme Court let it go. It was not a win for Arizona, like Arizona says it is. It's funny how you spin stuff, but technically they said, since it's not in effect, we're not going to rule on it. You have to report, because that's federal law, that any state has to report to federal. But federal brings charges, not state. They can't arrest you for an illegal alien status.
I guess that's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess the point is that it was a win for the Justice Department all the way around. For the Arizona challenge. Now,
right,
the big one, now, since this was a big win for the president, I have to put on some theme music for the president's ruling on this story.
Very good.
Well, you know, we have to do this. We have to give him some.
Gotta give him some.
Yeah, so, okay, so here's the story. Now, the Obama administration, well, before we get to that part of it, because I was going to give his response to it, but let's tell you what the story is. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 this week that the federal health care law individual mandate survives as a tax. Now, it handed a huge victory to the president. Chief Justice Roberts wrote in a prevailing 59-page opinion when he abandoned his federal conservatives, that the mandate cannot be upheld under Congress' broad power to regulate state commerce, but can be held under the power of tax under the Constitution's spending clause. Now, the ruling, by any standard, is enormous, an enormous legal and political victory for the president, who hailed the decision good for the country, good for Americans, for the American people. He said, I did this because it's good politics. It was a victory for people all over this country whose lives will be more secure. Now, Congress has the power to impose penalties for failing to buy health insurance under the taxing power and, you know, that Affordable Care Act needs to be read. This is John Roberts talking. He's just saying this is sufficient to sustain the Affordable Care Act. I'm stumbling over that because that's Roberts' opinion. I don't really want to get into that. 30 million people will be covered under the Affordable Care Act. So just so that you know, it passed because it was constitutional. Now, the Obama administration believes the United States, the people who choose not to buy health insurance will be paying a penalty, not a tax. And that's according to the president's spokesman. Now, the Congressional Budget Office estimates only 1% of the population would be affected by that payment. And it's a penalty because you do have a choice. So I'll leave it there in case anybody has any questions. But that was the Affordable Health Care Act.
That is awesome.
What do you think about that?
I think it was fantastic. What a fabulous law to put into effect, because so many people, especially to me, the most important aspect of this law was helps people who have conditions that, what are you going to do about it, you know? if a person
right.
already has had a diabetes, if a person has already had, who knows, heart problems or whatever, and you go to get insurance and they don't want to insure you because, oh, well, you know, you're already sick. It's like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know,
well,
if everybody had perfect health, they wouldn't need health insurance.
Well, I think people are getting confused the mandate part of what it is. Now, I am here to explain this for those who don't get it, but the healthcare law, the mandate portion of it was written in the tax committee because the government always has the ability to tax everybody across the board. So, since the Republicans who wrote the tax, it came out of the Heritage Foundation, so the Republicans actually wrote the mandate. It was part of the compromise that they added the mandate, and now the Republicans are fighting against the mandate. But
yeah.
The reason it is considered a tax is because it will be added on to you as a tax penalty, not a tax. It's a tax penalty. So
right.
If you have health insurance, you don't have to worry about it. You're not getting taxed.
Exactly.
And if you choose not to have health insurance, you don't have to pay it either. No, you don't have to pay it.
Oh, I thought you get if you don't get a plan by 2014 or 2016, it starts to roll over into penalties. That's
nope.
not true.
Yeah, well, how it goes is that if you opt in after 2014, but on your tax returns it says that you could afford health insurance and you opt out of it, then you pay a penalty to opt in. But if you never opt in health insurance, you don't have to pay the penalty.
Oh, that's
so
awesome. What are they barking about?
It's actually written into the law that IRS will not force the penalty on you. There's no collection mechanism. They don't have the authority to garnish your wages. There's no mechanism to pursue the money even if you don't pay it. Even if they assess that, there's no mechanism. You can voluntarily pay that or not.
So why did Romney say, oh, the very first day that I get into office, I'm going to, you know, repeal this? And it's like, you don't even know. He really irritates me. I don't know why he irritates me.
Well, it's because, you know, political fodder. He just wants to make noise. But within the law, and again, a lot of people are explaining it incorrectly, but in the law, the woman who actually wrote it was the mandate piece was actually on TV. She's a Republican, and she wrote it for the Heritage Foundation. And a part of it is just a tax penalty. So if you opt into the exchanges after 2014, they're going to say, hey, you had a chance to opt in early. You didn't do it. Here's your fine. But just
okay.
think of it as a copay. So
copay,
if
right.
you didn't, right. So if you didn't have the money and then you go to the hospital, you'll be paying roughly about a $70 penalty.
Oh, because, you know, when I watched it on, World News, mm-hmm. they rolled it over into, like, the second portion of the, okay, it goes into effect in 2014. So by the
mm-hmm.
time it rolls over again in 2016, you would be paying $600 in fees of because they broke it down in families. Like if it's a single person and it was $200-something by 2016. If it was a family of four, it was $600. I didn't believe them.
Yeah, that's not true because that would assume that all of them had the ability to pay for health care, and they didn't. One
right.
family, one payment. So if
yeah,
they all were
they
over
18, so much?
I think again, it's because the way the media is that it benefits them to scare you to some degree. It just sounds wrong, and I know it is, but it's kind of what we've resorted to in our kind of reality
yeah.
show type of half-wit news. Again, that number of, you know, eligible voters and education, that big disparity it just came out last week, but you would think that they would play to a more educated crowd now, but they still don't because the beliefs are like they are in the 30s.
Exactly.
That if everybody has a seventh grade level, they're cool. speak to them like sixth graders, and you pretty much cover everything.
That's a shame. Okay.
I agree. Now, here's what we're going to do. Since, man, we ran a little bit over. Okay, so we're going to take a one-minute break. We're going to come back with Ronnie's rave just right off the bat. So we're going to take a really quick 1 minute. We're going to do a PSA. Give you a minute. Get something to drink. Get some water, Ronnie, because we're going to let you yell.
Okay, I need more water.
All right.
I want to get more water.
There you go. All right, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. You know, I call the number, Eric's code 909-265-9189. You can catch us on iTunes, catch the archives. If you missed half of the show, feel free. But we'll be right back after this quick break.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR. And it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to Ask Kathleen. This is the moment that I've been waiting for. We have Ronnie on the phone, right on in the studio for Ronnie's rave. And you know what? I'm not going to bring in the hand claps just because you have your music on.
Uh-huh.
How you doing, Ronnie?
My favorite song. That's my other favorite song. You know, I want to start out saying that George Zimmerman is still in jail. So
okay.
That's very interesting. He went in for, he had another bail hearing this week. And the judge didn't rule on whether he will be set free. So I guess I'll keep my ears open. Maybe tomorrow they'll come up with something. But isn't it interesting that the judge didn't let him out?
You know, I didn't think they should.
I don't think they should, but, you know, he did... He did request another bond hearing, and people think his attorney thinks he should be out because of the fact that he claimed self-defense. But I personally think that anybody that can just walk up to anybody that they see on the street and decide that that person is dangerous and shoot them should be behind bars. That's just me. And I also wanted to report that just A, unbeknownst to me, and B, I was shocked by this, that after 8 years, the Supreme Court refused to hold fine CBS Network $550,000 for the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. Can you believe they were still ruling on that? So the Supreme Court refuses to collect $550,000 for the FCC, and they wanted that money so bad, but they're not getting it. So I guess Janet can finally breathe a sigh of relief. And I can't believe it's been going on that long.
Well, that don't have nothing to do with Janet. They weren't going to get money from her.
They weren't going to get money from her, but the fact that they were still seeking, you know, payment for that is ridiculous. 8 years and they're still after it? Anyway.
Well, really quickly, in a separate suit that happened a month prior, the U.S. Supreme Court kind of ruled that they will not fine broadcasters for nudity and obscenity if they had no control over it. So what FCC did is they fined all the local broadcasters for a CBS feed, which they didn't control. They said, not unless you do it on purpose, you can't fine them.
Exactly. It makes sense to me. And I was shocked to hear that Lauryn Hill might spend 3 years in jail for tax evasion. So she pleaded guilty to tax evasion on Friday. and he's going to be sentenced in October. That's really amazing. And I've, you know, I hate to see her go to jail. She has like 5 or 6 children. Terrible.
Yeah.
We always wondered what happened to her, you know, her music career. The fact that she has lived off of this one fantastic album that she made in, I don't even remember, the 90s. And the fact that she owes $1.5 million in taxes. That's a sad story.
Yeah,
also,
hopefully it's lenient on her.
Yeah, I hope so too. Now, this is a real rave. I was happened to catch early yesterday morning, like around 7 something, I happened to be glancing the news, and I see the ex-mayor of New York, Giuliani, ranting and raving about President Obama, of course, and how he destroyed the economy in Nevada. Now, you know Nevada is a big state. And he said that he single-handedly destroyed the economy by telling the people of Nevada. And, you know, I used to live there. I just moved from there. I was up in the mountains in Nevada until 2010. So, okay, he destroyed the economy single-handedly by saying, now that you've got your bailout money and whatever monies that the people got when he came into office, the people that were able to, you know, recover from whatever financial hardships they were, don't take that money and go to Las Vegas. And so he felt like anybody that would vote for him is an idiot from this state. And I was offended because, okay, first of all, the people that live there don't gamble, the majority of them. I'm telling you this for a fact. The majority of the people that live in those states that are casino-run states, they don't live there. I mean, they don't gamble.
The visitors that come gamble. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Two, the people that come gamble don't care less what the president said. They're still going to gamble.
Right.
So I get in the Las Vegas, it's packed to the walls. That's not why they had their economy was lacking. They had other issues that were causing their economy to lack. Whatever state. They had other issues, and they came along way before President Obama came along. So I don't know. I was just but anyway, you know, that's the Republicans. What do you want from them? And
exactly. That lie was going to keep going.
Huh?
I said, you know he's going to lie. It's Giuliani. What do you expect?
He's got to lie. Right. I was surprised, though, because usually I've kind of respected him a lot, but that I thought he went too far with that. And I'm going to wrap it up with Nicole Murphy. She's got ex-wife of Eddie Murphy, and she's on a new show, and the show is pretty much revolved around her. It's called Hollywood Exes. Now, I was interested because I always thought she was beautiful, and you never heard really much about her other than the fact that she was Eddie Murphy's wife. She was pretty quiet within their marriage and so forth, pretty respectful. But I found out that she got a $15 million settlement in her divorce and lost the money by investing with some person that she met and I guess started dating, and lost $11 million because he convinced her to invest her money overseas to get a better return. What are you thinking?
Oh, no.
Who does that?
Okay, if you're going to invest, take $2 million and invest, but 11, that seems like a bit much.
There's got to be a backstory. You know, so I watched I watched the first episode so I could look in her eyes and find out what could be the backstory to this, but I just can't even imagine. And one thing we know, Eddie Murphy is very frugal. You have never heard Eddie Murphy taking his money and burning it up. He is.
Well, you know what they say? When you grow up without money, you actually hold on to it a little bit differently, and you appreciate it differently sometimes. So it doesn't just come. It doesn't grow on trees.
It doesn't grow on trees, but I guess she thought hers did. But anyway, I felt so bad for her because she's devastated, obviously. This guy just took all the money and spent it, burned it up, and now he's in jail for federal money laundering and
laundering,
so forth.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
Well.
And then the other story, this is a big story. Bernie Madoff's brother pleaded guilty to conspiracy. I don't know how much time he's going to do, but I thought they were done with that Bernie Madoff story, and apparently they're not.
Well, apparently they didn't prosecute enough people the first time, huh?
I guess he wasn't enough meat on the bones, so they're going after more people. I feel like they should just let it drop. You know, what are you going to do? Unless you're going to get the people's money back, what's the point?
Hey, yeah, that's true. Well, no. You know what? They send people to jail, like Wesley Snipes in jail, where he probably shouldn't be. So I just want to say, since they send other people to jail, for example, send
yes,
him too.
At a point. And Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Lauryn Hill, hopefully they made their example with Wesley Snipes and don't sentence her to some really long time.
Ridiculous. Now, what do you think about this wonderful Miami Heat win?
Okay. You know, so NBA All-Star LeBron James scored 26 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists to lead the Heat at a 121-106 victory over Oklahoma City. They beat him in 5 games. James said it means everything, he said, in the moments after the win, and he was named MVP of the playoffs along with the regular season MVP. And I don't know where to begin. James, let's see. He has won the NBA title at a younger age than Michael Jordan when he got his first NBA championship. So instead of all the pressure being on LeBron James again, I am glad to see that he still did it and he broke a gang of records all this playoff season and all of that good stuff. So that's what I wanted to say about it, because people hate on him for unnecessary stuff, but to see that he still did it kind of in record time, and he's still on a good path to win. He had, I think in his career, he has 63 25-point games, 5 points and 5 rebounds, or 5 assists and 5 rebounds. He has 62 of them. The next person close to him in NBA history is Michael Jordan with 40. LeBron has 62. So
wow.
He's made some strides and broke some records, and you can't really take that away from him.
Okay, I wouldn't take that away from him. I just didn't like him because I think he's not – okay, I don't know why I don't like him. He just rubs me the wrong way. And he's not friendly. You know, my little grandson went to see him. They took all the young boys from the from the basketball teams out to meet him when he first came to – well, they thought he was going to come to New York, remember?
Uh-huh.
They thought he was going to come to the Knicks. So they all the kids in the basketball clubs went to see him, and he wouldn't sign any autographs. He wasn't friendly. He wouldn't talk to any of them, you know, and so they all came back disappointed. And then he did that little – I may go to New York, and then he ran down to Miami Heat, and to me, it felt like, okay, I'll just jump on whatever team is got a chance that'll get me what I want. Okay, so it's business. That was just me, you know, and that's just me. That's just a Ronnie-ism,
you know.
Now. I'm not saying that is true. And I just observed a lot of his behavior, and I didn't think he was, like, the greatest guy. But I can't take away from his talent. I watched the game. I thought that the Oklahoma just laid down. I really didn't feel like they were a good contender for this team. And I didn't watch the whole season, so I really, you know, I'm going to have to reserve my comments regarding Oklahoma. But because was everybody else worse than that? They didn't even put up a fight.
No. See, I like this part because – when they beat them, it's like they rolled over and Miami didn't play well. Miami played well.
No,
so,
I said the Oklahoma.
No, I know. People are saying they didn't play. You know, Kevin Durant had like 32 points. He averaged like 30 points a game. They played as well as Miami let them play. they're pros. And I remember watching Doc Rivers talk about this, and it's like, do you think Boston went out there not to win? Like, really, they're pros. Nobody likes to lose. And so when you come on the court, you don't mean to miss shots.
It's true. They just were outplayed. That's all there is to it.
They got outplayed.
What I'm saying is, were the rest of the teams in the league worse than that? Nobody could have what it took to fight the Miami Heat at all? Nobody?
Are you kidding? Those teams are good. Like, see, that's you not wanting to give Miami credit by saying the teams are not that good.
I don't like them. I don't like them.
But, okay, so let me help you with this.
Because
I know where you're going. I know where you're going. But a lot of people have said, I shouldn't say most, are talking about how nice of a guy LeBron is generally off the court and on the court. And even when he did the decision, he did that to give money to the Boys and Girls Club. And so it wasn't for him to profit from them. When he went to Miami, he took a pay cut. He could have stayed and made more money. So all of the things that normally people say about him, I always refute.
Oh, he wanted a ring. You know he could care less about money when you get a $20 million.
You got to understand.
I'm from Kobe land. I was with the Miami Heat, and then Shaq left. So what's the point of watching them? I don't know. I love Shaq.
I was with them when Shaq was there. I'm with you. And
I'll try to do better.
Try to do better because I think what people can learn from LeBron James, honestly, and I was never a LeBron fan, never. And I can tell you when I became one. It's after the decision, because I realize how corporate and people get emotional in athletes, and they dislike them for things they don't know anything about. But
right.
So let me give you a backstory. LeBron, 17, right, decides to skip college and go to the pros. 17. So at 18 years old, he signs a $100 million contract with Nike.
Right. I remember all that.
Now,
I was around.
But now what happened was he idolized Michael Jordan. He wanted 23. So Nike said, no, pick a different number because with our sales, it'll help us promote a different number. So LeBron, who did not sign his NBA contract yet, said, I'm not sure I want 23. So in pressuring LeBron to take a different number, they gave him a deadline and said, you need to tell us by Friday. So LeBron waited till Friday and said, I'm taking 23. And I got to respect him for at 18 years old, not getting pushed around by big corporations is very difficult to do. So in Cleveland, he let his contract expire. He didn't ask them for more money. He didn't opt out. He got a contract extension for like 2 years. And he's told them, if you guys don't put any people around me, I'm going to leave. And he let his contract expire. So they make this promise to you. If you sign this contract, when it's over, you can go anywhere you want. And he did that, and people hate him for it. Now,
I don't blame him for leaving because you got to remember that the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's where he was, right?
Yep.
Cleveland?
Yep.
It was a
terrible
team.
I know, and he carried them. I mean, he's 25 years old when he made the decision. Can you make a decision at 25, seriously?
Are you kidding? Most people at 25 don't even know they're alive yet. So, okay, I thought that when he got that,
2 years ago.
But they gave him $100 million to sign onto the NBA, which I thought was insane for a young man who did not go to college. I thought that was crazy. Why was it? They did it for Kobe, but Kobe didn't get $100 million. And
Kobe's,
I feel
Kobe's
like Kobe's
not as good as LeBron either.
I think he's a better player than LeBron.
Yeah, I know you do, because he had a good team when he came into the Lakers with Shaq, and LeBron had nobody. See, but that was the point. Like, he went to Miami, and Dwayne Wade said, I did what Shaq did to me. He said, when I came here, Shaq said, I'm getting older, and this is your team. But he'd had nobody to mentor him. You left an 18-year-old to his own devices. Are you kidding me? So
no, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that, but I say this. Kobe is a better player, and I'm not even the biggest Kobe Bryant fan because his little behavior is a little bit bad. But in the scheme of things, he was left to his own devices, too, when he and Shaq had the big blowout. And I know that he was behind some of that mess. But he was left to his own devices still, and he was able to pull that team together.
Okay.
And they, how many rings does he have versus how many rings, $100 million? LeBron could have paid some people to come play for him.
That's funny. Oh, you know what? You're listening to Ask Kathleen. I guess we need to do a call letter.
And
we're yelling about LeBron and Kobe since we have a Kobe fan on the line.
Oh, good.
Our co-host, Roddy, is a Kobe person. So I just want to let you know, our calling number is 909-265. I don't know why I keep hesitating on this. Area code 909-265-9189. We're here. Kathleen's off today, and we're tearing up, and we're going to go to the phones. And I think I know who this is. So I think he's probably – now, I think we have a Lakers – former Lakers fan or kind of old-school Lakers fan. Let's go to the line. How you doing? I think this is Carl. How you doing, Carl?
What's happening, brother? James Worthy is a top player all time. Still a Lakers fan, dog. That's my screen name.
Wait a minute, and say hi to Ronnie, who's co-hosting today.
What's
good
happening,
evening.
Ronnie? How you doing?
Okay, how are you? James
good.
Worthy.
Did you hear
No, that whole thing I said was my screen name, everything. I hope you wrote it down.
Right. So I remember the days because we were – I like the Lakers. I like James Worthy. Everybody who came with them, Byron Scott, you know, everybody, just from the heyday of the Lakers. I don't know about the Kobe-ness that she's talking about, but she's having a Kobe issue. That's why she doesn't like LeBron.
What? What did LeBron do to anybody?
Oh, you missed it. Ronnie, tell a story.
I didn't like LeBron. It's okay because
he's from New York, so we won't really go that far.
Okay, yeah. Right now I heart Carmelo. I had to switch over, so you know.
That's cool.
We'll have to put some other lovers, but I'm over here on the Carmelo team right now. And but LeBron James, I just felt when they took him to the Cleveland Cavaliers with $100 million sign on. That, you know, okay, he's 18 years old, and I know that that's a tough place to be. And he held it down by himself, but why didn't he fight for other people to come to that team? You know, why would he sit there that long and just have the worst team in the league forever? You know what I mean? And the money, of course, means nothing to him. Why would he care about money at $100 million? I know they were paying him, you know, over his contract and whatever, but he ran to the Miami Heat so he could get a ring because he knew that that's the only way he was going to get it.
Can I ask you this question?
Yeah.
Was the GM at Cleveland on the payroll?
Exactly.
That's his job.
He didn't hear you.
Was the GM? Yeah, was he on the payroll?
Okay, I know the general manager. Yeah, he was. Okay. So that was his job. But
that's his job.
Right. So not only does he have to make points and score baskets, he need to look for draft picks.
Yes.
He can't do that.
Yes, he must.
You got to buy food for the cookout and everything like that, huh?
Exactly. He's like, you know, my parking was bad. LeBron needs to know. He got Nike money. We should have some better lines on these streets. See, we were... Well, I wasn't almost with you. Maybe Carl was, but I
know
where this was going.
I'm being ridiculous because I know that was not his job. But I just, you know how you have to figure, if you don't like a player, you don't have any really good reason. It's just, that's it. I like the Lakers, so I'll think of anything. Oh, you know, he didn't wear the right sneakers. I don't care.
See, look at that. Now, on that note, here's a story for both of you, because I know you're going to appreciate this since we're talking about basketball. But here's the story. The number one draft choice, Anthony Davis, is trying to make most of his – this is Anthony Davis, right?
That's a good story, though.
He's trying to make the most of his future. Huh?
That's a good story, what he's trying to do.
Well, wait a minute. He is trying to trademark his famous eyebrows. Now, so he tried to trademark fear the brow and raise the brow instead of cutting his doggone eyebrows. Now, I know you don't like, and this is a move to support, to get a boatload of endorsement and merchandising deals. He's trying to follow the example of Jeremy Lin, who owns the trademark Linsanity. He didn't create it, but in court, they literally gave it to Jeremy Lin, opposed to the other guy who got the trademark just before him. Or he filed it before Jeremy Lin, and they gave it to Jeremy Lin.
Now, that's huge. I missed that one.
Yeah. Now, I'm saying about
what
that eyebrow thing. Have you ever seen them before, Roddy?
No, I haven't. I thought you were talking about the kid that's hiring that guy, 23 years old, to be his, you know, to help him get a good draft pick. Did you hear about that guy? He hired a 23-year-old manager to help him get in the draft, and everybody's like, "You're out of your mind," because he has no experience. But we'll see what happens.
No, I don't remember him. Carl, you heard that story?
No, I haven't heard that, but it's a similar story, at least to LeBron and the young guys that he hired, you know, to take care of his money and do his marketing or whatever it was he did at Cleveland. It sounds familiar, I'll say that. And those guys were successful, though.
Right. And that would be a successful story that nobody ever hears, though, like for LeBron, because we have a lot of people who don't like LeBron. Ronnie.
Really? One out of three?
Ronnie. I'm sorry. I had something in my throat.
Well, you know what? I decided to back off LeBron, and that's why I brought it up tonight. Because a couple of weeks ago, last week we didn't even mention the game, and I sat and watched the whole game. And then this week I said, no, give the brother his props. He worked hard. He's been in the league for a long time. He really deserved this win. And I watched him play his brains out. So he deserves it. He deserves his way. And he was so emotional and so overwhelmed, and I really did see the sincerity in his eyes. He loved this game, and he was very happy that he won. So,
man, Carl, Ronnie got nicer since you've been on. But
look, I want to ask a few questions, but this is not my show, is it?
No. This is your show because we're hijacking Ask Kathleen because Kathleen is on vacation, or she is not to be found. So long as she doesn't call in, we're good. You can ask the question you want.
All right, so Ronnie, what if he didn't show that he appreciated the win and just was good enough to get it? Would you be mad at him?
Oh, then I would say, see, I knew he wasn't.
Yeah, he should have pulled the mic.
I knew he wasn't about nothing.
Ronnie, what if you pulled the Mike Tyson?
You're right. But that's what I find funny, though, is people, you know, they respect LeBron's game, but they want him to be a certain way in going about it. You know, they want him, when he loses the championship, they want him to be respectful of the people who just beat him, even though he's so passionate about the game. When he makes a decision to leave, they don't want him to, you know, to have a TV show and give money to the Boys Club. You know, I don't know how they wanted him to do it, but it was the wrong thing, you know, that kind of stuff. And
right,
just,
you can give over $1 million to the Boys and Girls Club, and nobody sees that as a gesture. Like, he shouldn't have did it, is their response. And we're not jumping on you, Ronnie.
I knew nothing about his giving money to the Boys Club and Girls Club, so I think that's fantastic. I missed that. I'm not a fan. I don't know anything that he does.
You know what I really don't like is the fact that LeBron has come around to say, I didn't do it the right way, or I apologize for the decision.
You don't need
to apologize.
He was 25 when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I make mistakes. I was young. He didn't even have to say that, though.
Didn't have
because
to say
I think,
it. You...
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think that he did the right thing because he did it to give the money to the Boys Gloves. If somebody's going to pay you money just to put your decision on television, do you say, no, I'm not going to do that? He said, I'm going to give money to a charity. I think that was noble of him. I think that was fine.
Oh, yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, and while we're on this, we can go back to LeBron, but while we're on this, Mike Tyson on July 31st, Mike Tyson, the youngest boxer to hold three major boxing titles simultaneously, is bringing his solo three-night Mike Tyson Undisputed Truth to mm-hmm. Broadway. Now, it's directed by Spike Lee, and it appeared in April in Vegas, and now mm-hmm. it's now in New York on Broadway, and they added extra nights. It started off with six, didn't even start yet, and they've already extended the stay in New York.
And I want to see it. Yeah. I'm going to do whatever I can to see it.
Are you going to see it?
I'm going to see it.
She don't like LeBron. Okay.
I was a big Mike Tyson fan before he started eating people.
I'm sorry.
It was bad fault.
Exactly. They didn't really have Passat warning labels on back then. Now, the reason I brought up Mike Tyson anyway is because Mike Tyson was the one who stayed an extra year in jail because he said he didn't do it, and they were going to give him like 15 years probation. So he stayed the extra year. When he got out, they said, "Are you going to do things for women judges and give them money?" And he said, "F you, white guy." Like, that was Mike's response.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so he wasn't very apologetic when he got out. So I agree, LeBron shouldn't be apologetic any either, because he just did what he did for, you know, his own right reasons, and mm-hmm. just because it was misconstrued, you can't apologize for that.
All right.
That's just my opinion.
And he did it within the rules of the game.
Exactly. So, oh, by the way, before you came on, Carl, Ronnie was comparing LeBron to Kobe, because mm-hmm. Kobe has a clean cut, more image than LeBron, I think.
No, he doesn't. He's disgusting.
Huh?
Kobe's disgusting. His behavior is disgusting.
Well, opposed to choking the girl up in Colorado before everybody liked Kobe.
Yeah, choking plus.
I'm just saying. Before
is that,
that
what
whole
the kids call
fiasco.
It these days?
All right, and by the way, while we're talking about Broadway, I don't know if you're going to go see this, Ronnie, but there's a musical based on Motown Records founder Berry Gordy, who is 82 years old. He actually is writing and co-producing the show that will open next spring, and the cast is unannounced, but they'll just be doing songs from, you know, Stevie, Jackson 5, Diana, all those guys. But actually, he's producing, 82-year-old Berry Gordy is producing a Broadway play.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Hey. See,
hey,
so,
why should he sit around when Betty White is taking all the money and Joan Rivers? Why should he sit
around? Wrong for that.
Joan is still 22.
Joan
what'd you
is
say?
22.
I said Joan is still 22.
So long as Berry Gordy can, you know what? Wait a minute. I just thought about this. If Berry Gordy does his, does that mean, like, we're going to have a behind the scenes, but with, you know, with Gladys Knight and the Pips? Because, you know, they always have stories about the record company not hooking you up. So long as Berry Gordy comes out, now he's opening himself up to some questions. Where's my money, Barry?
I know. I don't think anybody would be indecent, because they haven't said anything all these years, so hopefully they won't.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking of the Berry Gordy play being like a Madea pet play. Madea on Broadway. So I thought I'd share. All right, well, Ronnie, do you have anything else? Did I miss something?
I think, because that was the last thing I wanted to mention, was the Mike Tyson situation. Oh, no, I did want to mention one more thing.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know if anybody saw that Mary J. Blige commercial, the Burger King commercial that caused a huge uproar about her selling chicken, fried chicken.
Yeah.
Did you see
it? I didn't
see it.
I didn't see it, but I had heard about it when it first happened, and she didn't know what was going on.
It was
right,
on
so
YouTube.
It was, so she was on Hot 97 here in town, radio station with Angie Martinez, and I just happened to catch it the other day, the interview, and she said when she saw the commercial, she was so devastated that she was under her bed hiding. She was so embarrassed, so ashamed, and that she didn't know that it was going to be done like that. She thought it was going to be more of her as an icon, you know, endorsing a product, and basically, you know, she sang the jingle, but she didn't know that they were going to have her actually singing the jingle about whatever the sandwich was and so forth. And she said it just turned out to be a nightmare for her. They ultimately apologized. The Burger King Corporation apologized to her, and they taken it off. So now, I just like LeBron James, I don't understand why she's apologizing for a commercial. What's the big deal? Everybody knows that black people eat chicken.
Okay, just like LeBron James, I'm sorry for laughing at that, but here's the thing. Just like LeBron James, they don't know that they shouldn't apologize because they were taking too much heat. So she said she sat back and watched all the negative things being said about her, and she just did not know how to respond.
Exactly, and then also she felt like people that knew her, that she thought were her friends and so forth, were dissing her. And like if I could have gotten to her, I would have told her, listen, all those same people that are saying whatever they are saying about your commercial will be right there if Burger King called them to take your spot.
Okay, I don't mean to say this out loud, but I just had one of those $1 for chicken sandwiches from Burger King, and I just want to tell you that I understand Mary's point that she was kind of – she felt obligated, I think, once she signed the deal. They gave her like $1 million to do that.
He said they didn't give her $2 million to do it and that she was not a sellout artist. She said there's so many products that come to her that she turns down with a lot of money, and she didn't turn this one down because she thought it was going to be a branding branding opportunity for her going forward, but she didn't have any idea that she was going to turn out to be like, you know, I'm selling chicken and watermelon. But I saw the commercial, and I still didn't understand what she was apologizing for.
Okay. Carl, I think you agree with me on this one. They gave her $2 million. It's just fast food.
It's a fact?
I don't think that's a big deal. Well, would you be mad at her because she let her image or let somebody play her music and they gave her $2 million? I think she's not stealing. Right.
Now, did they ever air the commercial or just on YouTube or something?
No, I saw it on TV.
You did? Okay.
Did you? Yes, they said Burger King
was
said,
it a
you may have seen it on TV, but Burger King said that they never actually released it, but they put it out on their YouTube channel. So they let
on one of those
view it.
Channels, you know, one of those Newton Showbiz Tonight or one of those channels.
Yeah, they never paid to release it.
Mm.
Right. But then, what's his name from Steven Tyler, the rocker, turned from American Idol, turned right around and took that and sang that chicken song. And
I tell you, I liked his commercial.
Made you hungry.
I don't understand. And that's the same way they did. That's the same thing I saw happen to Whitney Houston back in the day when they said she wasn't black enough and booed her at the Soul Train Awards and so forth. That was happened to be at that Soul Train Awards, by the way, and made her feel less than. And it's like these same people are not going to pay your bills, Mary. And those same people would do that commercial and walk right by you with that check.
Mm-hmm.
I know Dave Chappelle would have did it. He would have been there.
I would have done it.
I was going to say. Guess then again, who wouldn't have done it, right? Now, I just want to remind all the listeners who are listening and archives, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. She'll be back next week to answer your questions if you got some problems, or not, or just want to answer to some questions. Ask Kathleen. Co-host Roddy's here. I'm Jerome hosting. We're on with Carl, and Carl is joined us for a little bit. How you doing, Carl?
Thanks for coming on to call. Enjoy you.
My pleasure. You guys interrupted me eating my Popeye's chicken, but everything's cool.
Oh, well, you know what? I would talk about this because we finally got a Popeye's in the area, so never mind. We're not going to talk about that right now. But I hear the line was pretty long. How long did you stay in line?
It was about an hour and 15-minute wait yesterday.
See?
What? Right. Where do you guys live?
One Popeyes in upstate New York. So one Popeyes. And it just came about, what did you say, a week ago? No.
Not even that. About 3-4 days ago.
Yeah.
Popeyes. So people are probably in line right now for tomorrow.
You know what? Don't feel bad, because sometimes there's lines here, too, and we have strategically placed all over town, but they're strategically not placed in certain places. So if I wanted Popeyes now, I would have to drive about 45 minutes. And it's packed, believe me. It's always packed.
Wow.
Oh, no. All right. Now, so that gets your comments on a few more stories. We have This Week in Court. I know we only have 15 minutes left, but This Week in Court, we'll do this really quickly. The Eighth Amendment that forbids mandatory life sentences without possibility of parole for juvenile murders has been held up in the U.S. Supreme Court. So juveniles that commit murder under the age of 18 cannot automatically be given life sentences. You can give it to them after you find out what happened, but you just can't do it automatically. That was ruled on this week. All right. In Dothan, Alabama, a man says in court that he blacked out at the wheel and was arrested for driving under the influence because Rite Aid and the pharmacist gave him an Ambien instead of a pain reliever when he went to the to the pharmacist. All right.
I'm on either of those.
What'd you say?
You're not supposed to drive on pain relievers either.
Okay, but the Ambien probably. Never mind. I can't argue his point. I'm going to take
your
word for that.
Good
maybe
point,
not in Alabama.
Know. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe not. All right. Now, a federal judge said that though federal laws prohibit systematic removal of voters close to an election, the law does not refer to non-citizens that targeted Florida's voter purge. So they're allowing them to check the voters who are non-citizens in Florida. So that ruling was in favor of Florida. And my last one, San Antonio Spurs guard Tony Parker filed a $20 million lawsuit claiming that the New York club should have prevented the brawl between Chris Brown and Drake that involved bottles throwing and possible gunshots.
That's ridiculous.
What?
If I saw Chris Brown and Drake in a club, I would head for the door.
Really? I'd beat Drake up first, but that would just be me.
I would know it was going to pop off. I'm telling you right now. I would not stay in that club. And especially if I saw bottles flying. You think he's going to get $20
million? He's going to get $20 million from somebody. He got hurt.
He got hurt?
Yeah, Turner Parker got glass in his eye.
And
so
now he can't
play
the Olympics.
He had to go to the emergency room. So he's not going to be able to play in the Olympics. He's a French citizen, and he's on the French national team. So
Terrible. He's
not playing in the Olympics, and he had charred glass in his eye when he went to the emergency room.
That's terrible. I feel so bad for him, but I still would have left.
Mary J. actually said that she was in that club that night as well.
Yeah, I heard, but did you hear, did she say anything about it?
There was nothing that I remember that pops out. She just said that she was there, but nothing in particular. It happened towards the end of the night, so I think she left before all that happened. So whatever it was, it transpired after. And plus, it was one-sided, too. You know, Chris Brown was on one side of the club, and Drake's people started throwing stuff at Chris Brown. So it's not a Chris Brown-Drake fight, like people are saying. Drake's and those folks threw bottles over where Chris Brown and those guys were. So they're getting sued.
Juvenile.
Huh?
Juvenile.
Okay. So I thought I'd share that. And one more. President Obama extended his executive order protection to protect the assets of Russia to stabilize their nuclear material. So that was also another ruling that was in court this week. So I think that was all that I have for This Week in Court. But I just wanted to make sure everybody had a chance to catch themselves up on the news. And U.S. health regulators did approve a weight loss pill for the first time in 13 years this week. And it's I guess some company in San Diego finally did some testing, and they said that the human trials found low risk of tumors in humans using the drug, so they approved it. I don't know what that means exactly.
Whatever that
That's
means.
Kind of scary. It's a low risk in tumors, so we can use it. So
okay.
It's expected to be launched in 2013. All right. So on that note, and, you know, we only have, like, a few minutes left in the show, but since that didn't since I didn't want to go too much back into the political stuff. Oh, by the way, pharmacies like Walgreens will be experimenting. I don't know why they use the word in this news story, experimenting, but they're going to offer free HIV test over the summer. Now, the $1.2 million program offer free rapid HIV test at the pharmacies, in-store clinics in 24 cities and rural areas, and that's according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, and they were also offered in 7 more places. So the NASA's largest chain will be administering these free tests. You would have to go to their in-store pharmacies for them, but they said that they're offering them in select cities. So for those people who care, you can go
to Walgreens. Good thing.
Yeah.
I hope they're more accurate than those quick cholesterol tests, you know.
How do those
work
out?
they're fairly inaccurate, I can tell you that.
Well, they did run a disclaimer because these are coming, usually the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, they said free clinics normally go to the drugstores, but this time they're going to train the employees to give the test, to these rapid tests. And if it's a positive test, that you need to get retested. So I guess they're saying they may not be accurate.
Okay, that's nerve-wracking. that's something that I want to take. I don't even want to sit around and I'm glad that I don't have to get tested, but if I did, I wouldn't want somebody to tell me, oh, by the way, you have that. Oh, well, your doctor's not open until Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. We didn't tell you that dilators can give you a false positive. You know, you don't want to. You don't want a Walgreens employee to tell you something like that.
No.
Not
a good idea. Not a good look.
Ice cream sandwich? Yeah.
Not a good look. Okay, I have one more, Jerome. Did you hear about the police officers here in New York, the TSA officers that went on?
Yes.
Now, that's a good story.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they were on a training, TSA officers on some type of training program where they all go out to, they're the marshals, they're the plane marshals, I'm sorry. So, you know, the plane marshals, they probably have exercise and so forth, right? And so they are on the job, and because they're having fun and they're whatever, they have an expense account, they go into a bar, order drinks while they're on the clock, and then ask for an employees and law enforcement discount.
Dum, da, dum, dum.
That sounds like intimidation right there. I'm getting drunk, so I need a discount.
Well, what are you going to do on the plane? How are you going to protect me on the plane if you're sitting on the plane drinking? They'll drink on the plane.
I don't know how to answer that. That was the TSA marshals.
The TSA marshals, they fly undercover on the planes.
So they told them that they wanted a discount and they're undercover?
Yes.
Okay.
They wanted
a discount. I didn't hear that story.
For their drinks.
I know the story, but I didn't read the story, so that is actually funny. I didn't know that they
I figured we'd go out with a good laugh.
that is a good laugh because it's almost like saying that, undercover boss, when they come in and they say, I'm your boss, but don't tell nobody.
Exactly. Nobody knows the boss is here.
Yeah. Don't worry about this. We don't tell nobody else.
That's
just
right.
A good friend.
Just a good friend. Don't let anybody know I'm here. I'm the boss. Oh, my God.
Can we tie that back in with Anthony Davis, the unibrow? Do you think he can sneak in anywhere and say, hey, don't tell anybody I'm here?
Okay, I have to say, wait a minute. Ronnie, have you ever seen him before?
No, I'm going to look him up.
Okay, don't. But here's the thing. He does really look like a character from Sesame Street. And there's been a lot of comments on the Internet what he should and should not do, whether he should cut it or not. And he said he is not going to take some endorsement deal by Gillette and cut his unibrow because it's kind of who he is. I'm like, that must be cute when you're 18.
Mm.
But yeah. We're going to see, if he wasn't getting that big contract, his dating would probably be affected, like, greatly by this. No, that's what one of the Internet comments said. That's not me. I don't really name my thing. I don't know. So,
I don't make comments.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a comment on that.
Look,
and,
allow me to just say one little eyebrow. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay.
There you go. You know, we all can relate to that. And
looking at it, that's a lot of brow.
Yeah.
Oh, you pulled it up, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I told you, you're not going to be able to sleep tonight.
That's very different looking. That's interesting.
She is so nice. Yeah. She's not nice to LeBron, but she's going to be nice to that one brow guy.
Look at that crazy eyebrow.
Get your tweezers away from the screen.
I know.
Because we sit here for another hour like, are you kidding me? What is this?
No, Kyle, you know what she's doing? She's looking at it to see if the brow moves. It's like separating and then it comes back together.
Okay, you're out of control.
It is not a trick picture.
She's going to really let us have it next week.
Okay. Since we're not tearing up my show, we're tearing up Ask Athlete today. And on that note, we're going to ease up off the unibrow. And I'm going to do one more story since we have like 2 more minutes or 3 minutes before the show ends. Now, Adidas sparked the outrage and was accused of promoting slavery by creating a new pair of trainers which has a bright orange shackle that sits around the sneaker. I don't know if you saw those, but more than 2,000 people have labeled it offensive and ignorant that the German firm Adidas created some sneakers and put a big chain on the sneaker and had a shackle around the, well, I guess it was close to the calf. Have you seen those shoes?
No, I haven't seen that. Never heard that one.
Yeah, I saw them.
You saw them?
Yeah.
It just didn't look right, did it?
They're hideous.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what look they were going for, but that just wasn't, you know what, I really don't even have any more words for that. That was just crazy. But Adidas pulled them, and they said that they will not sell them now. But they expected that to pass muster for people to actually think it was cool to wear shoes with a big chain and shackle around it.
And mm-hmm. I think their tagline or whatever was something along the lines of, you'll love them so much you'll want to chain them to your feet.
Okay.
Fail.
And that worked for them, really? They thought that was going to be a good tagline?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm not sure that I agree with them, but if you get a chance, Ronnie, go check out those shoes online. They look a little crazy. And hopefully when Kathleen goes back and listens to the show, she won't yell us about those shoes. All right. So thanks for joining us, Carl, and hanging out on Ask Kathleen.
Thank you.
All right. And Ronnie, co-host Ronnie for Ronnie's Rays.
Good night. See you next week.
Hey.
Thanks
we'll
for joining us.
Hey, same time, same place. Sunday, 8 o'clock. Ask Kathleen and just join us. I'll be here. Kathleen will be back, and I'll probably be making noise as well. Just remember, all content of this program is protected, may not be reproduced, distributed, transmitted, or otherwise published without prior written permission. All rights are reserved. All right, Carl. All right, Ronnie. I'll see you guys next week or next time.
Bye, man.
All right, later.